got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Steamrolling into the final hour of our broadcast week. In just a minute or two, we're going to talk with Dave Wyman about the Seahawks game last night. Huge win for the Seahawks to keep their playoff hopes alive. But as you know, I am an objective journalist. I don't like interjecting my opinion ever into the radio show, but occasionally I see a story that almost demands me to break out of the bounds of journalistic integrity and offer my opinion. We like to call that news and comment.
Now it's time for news and comment, where we go beyond the headlines and bring you perspective and analysis of today's biggest news stories. First, the news.
This happened in Federal Way, where a man was found alongside Pacific Highway South with a large kitchen knife embedded in his upper back. According to the police report, his ex-girlfriend saw him talking with what she thought was a prostitute, and she grabbed the knife from her kitchen, pocketed it in her case, and she says that when she saw him talking to this other woman, she snapped and stabbed the man before walking away.
And now, the comment.
Dude, it is so hard to find a woman who loves you that much. All I would say is, stop disrespecting her, stop talking to other women, and just give your heart to this woman. Because obviously, if she's willing to do that for your love, that's pretty rare.
This has been News and Comment. The views expressed in News and Comment are those of Dory Monson and do not necessarily reflect the views of Cairo Radio.
With that as mere prelude,
did I need to be here for that?
Let me welcome in.
Was there a dude in there?
Yeah, there's a dude. Hey, so we usually do this on Tuesdays, but should we do Name That Artist? A little abbreviated version? You're only in for a couple minutes.
Sure.
Let's do Name That Artist. Sean, you got anything for Name That Artist?
Brush.
Ah, got it.
Yeah, that he lobbed that one up for me. It was a
1-0 Dave.
If that was the case, why did it take you so long? It took a good 3 seconds.
Hey, hey, who won?
Who won?
Yeah. Come on. I gotta, there's no style points. It's 1-0.
Okay. All right. Well done. Dave called the, along with Steve Rabel, the Seahawks win last night, which was just a critical game. You lose that game and your playoff hopes are almost nil. Now everybody seems really enthusiastic and positive about getting on a run like they did 3 years ago and getting to the playoffs. And I was talking on the pregame show, if you get into the playoffs, your first game, if the season ended right now, would be either against the Redskins or the Bears, who aren't that great.
Yeah.
And so this seems like one of those years, you know, the Saints and Rams are kind of next level, but it seems like you could do some interesting things.
Yeah, it could be fun with this group. So, you know, hopefully they're, I feel like this year they're going to be able to win a game that they probably shouldn't. You know, an unlikely game, and that would be the next one coming up at Carolina, because they're 6-3 right now, and you know they have to play this weekend. They could be 7-3 going in there, and
right.
You know, and in order to win, you got to get some turnovers. They've had a 3-game drought now with turnovers,
yeah.
And then they turn it over 3 times, one being a pick six. But you know, one per game is not going to kill you. But if you're not getting any on defense, then that's going to be a problem, especially going on the road, trying to beat a team like Carolina.
That stat we talked about on the postgame show, it still amazes me that the Seahawks have rushed for 150 or more yards in 7 straight games. And I thought, oh, it's good. That's pretty good. And then I find out they're only the 3rd team in the last 40 years in the NFL to have a streak that long. And I was thinking, all the great running backs in the league over the last 40 years, and nobody, except for 2 others,
have done what the Seahawks have done. I didn't realize how incredibly rare that was.
Well, it's funny. Last week, we were sitting there looking at it going, man, they brought in Mike Solari, who there was a lot of criticism about that because he come from the Giants where they didn't have a great running game. And he also brought one of his linemen with him, DJ Fluker. And, you know, so I think Solari needs a lot more credit than he's getting. And then, you know, same thing with all the rest of them and the play calling, Brian Schottenheimer, the new offensive coordinator. So I just wish that it had helped Russell a little bit more, you know, and it doesn't seem to be having that effect on him. But I got to say, man, I'm not sure. I think I'm to the point now where I'm never doubting Russell again. And maybe I've said that, but I'm talking about believing in him because I used to think that some of that stuff was kind of, he was just coaching himself up, making himself believe it. But if you can miss a wide open receiver the way he did in the end zone,
Doug Baldwin,
have the clock in your head ticking on a few of those sacks, it's like this is the number one sack team in the NFL, and he's sitting back there holding the ball. And then when he caught the ball that got tipped, like that's the most fundamental thing, and you can still be confident
just
after that.
Bat it down, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's to me is like, man, this guy really is special in that he believes in that he's going to end up winning in the end.
And then he gets the ball back in the fourth quarter, down by four, so a field goal won't do it.
Davis, the single setback, and Russell from the shotgun with three wideouts. Baldwin wide to the right. The snap throw inside. It's caught, Dixon. Touchdown, Seahawks.
And as cool and as good as that was, then they get the ball back with 4:11 left. And they never give Aaron Rodgers a chance to touch it after that, which is a total team effort. But yeah, there's just enough thing. And the, you know, hearing Pete Carroll talk about how young they are and how much upside, because he was so frustrated by all the mistakes they made last night. But what a fun spot to be in, to have a young team that's still good enough to compete like this.
Yeah, and it just, you know, it bodes well for the future. I mean, your defensive backs, and they got beat a couple of times, but yeah, that was there's an amazingly high number of people that have been or players that have been picked up over the last 2 years. If you look at 17, 18, whether it's free agency trades or draft, you've got a lot of good young guys. And two young guys getting home finally last night, getting sacks, Jacob Martin and Rasheem Green. And I was really happy to see that. So, yeah, it's just, I like I said, I feel like this is a team that's going to, if they can get in the playoffs, they can upset somebody.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun. You have a second? You want to hear what happened at halftime?
Sure.
I shared this with my listeners last hour. So I do a segment at halftime, as you know, because you used to do it with me for years and years. And then we do a break, and then we do another segment.
Mm-hmm.
15 seconds before the second segment starts, Paul Mora goes, hey, Dory, this is kind of interesting. Off the air. He goes, this is kind of interesting. 106 yards rushing, 106 yards passing for the Seahawks first half. And so I thought, well, I could, you know, set that up with Paul, like just a standard guy, and say, hey, Paul, balanced offense in the first half, huh? But I decided to try to be a little different and creative. And listen to Moyer here. He had just told me the stat like literally 15 seconds earlier.
I don't want to get too heavy, too deep, too philosophical here, Paul.
Then don't.
But in nature, there's something called the perfect ratio that leads to the beautiful symmetry of nature. And you have just identified the beautiful symmetry of the first half for the Seattle Seahawks offense.
Thank you.
I have no idea where I'm going. You just
had no clue what I was talking about. You had no clue.
What?
Is that my fault?
Yeah, you went a little far outside of the your
That's
coloring
like
outside
to sound
the lines.
Different than everybody else.
Yeah,
I don't like to be like the rest, Dave. Ray Roberts got it right.
Only 106 yards passing.
Thank you, Ray.
106 yards rushing.
Look, I mean, short-term memory's not like it used to be.
Paul, try to hang with
what
me
I
here.
What I meant was the Seahawks have rushed for 106 yards, and they've thrown for 106 yards.
It would have been much more effective if you had just picked up on what I was saying, Paul.
I was losing you there forever. Where's he going with this?
I got to really start dumbing things down.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, what would have been the best if he'd have said, well, I don't know about any of that, but they got 106 yards rushing. Oh, man. Good old Paul Moore. He makes it fun, doesn't he?
What are you? Oh, he sure does. He's the best. What are you going to do with a Sunday off here?
Watch Red Zone. Greatest channel ever created.
Well, enjoy.
Yeah.
Come by the house. Well, I can get Red Zone on one TV and TVG on another.
The ponies?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we got this weekend on tap? Is there a Breeders' Cup coming up?
No, that was a couple weeks ago.
No, it was.
It was a few weeks ago.
I think I've asked you that like for 4 weeks in a row.
I do. But we'll go one of these years. Next time the Breeders' Cup's on a bye weekend, we're going.
There we go.
You in?
Yeah, wherever it is,
right.
We're going.
Right. I went with Matt Stretch Johnson all the way to Jersey in Monmouth. So
I remember that.
I'll travel to the ends of the earth for that.
That was Monmouth.
Yeah,
like that there?
Yes, Monmouth. Dave White.
Thanks for having me.
You hear him? Oh, wait. We should do one more Name That Artist before you go. You got anything else?
Going to end in a tie.
For us?
Rush.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Sean. Love you, man.
That is
no
a
problem.
Clean sweep for Dave Wyman. You have all kinds of momentum going into Tuesday now.
That was kind of a... He sort of lobbed those up for me. He felt sorry for me.
No.
Or as you would say, he felt sorry for me.
You're still going to come in on Tuesday?
Sure.
Okay. See you later. Get out of here! It's Dave Wyman. You hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7 on Danny, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle. Okay, we got some serious news to talk about. Let's continue with the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Now, Wyman was the exclusive. Others have had this story, actually. But this story out of Snohomish County is so absolutely disturbing here about a young man who raped a woman who was dying. His name is Brian Varela, 20 years old, and he admitted that he raped a young woman while she was overdosing on drugs, and then, by his own admission, he let her die. What should the sentence be for that? What should the charge be for that? You let somebody die? You rape them, and then you let them die? He got 34 months, not years. 34 months in prison is the sentence that Brian Varela was just received. He pleaded guilty to second-degree manslaughter, third-degree rape, and unlawful disposal of remains. In less than 3 years, he will be out of prison. The mother of the victim, Alyssa is the victim. Her mother is Gina Pearson, and she talked to Channel 4. They have this story up at comonews.com.
Shock and disbelief, pissed off.
She asked the judge for the max sentence.
In my opinion, Your Honor, I believe Mr. Varela should receive the death penalty.
But the judge sentenced him to just 34 months, acknowledging that she felt it was inadequate. But she said, state law requires me to follow sentencing guidelines. And since this guy had no criminal history, you can rape a woman and then let her die. And our sentencing guidelines in Washington State are less than 3 years in prison. He did apologize in court.
Sorry for my foolish actions. Whatever I get is what I deserve.
That sounds like it was really from the heart there. And here's the judge.
I, too, find the available sentence to be really inadequate.
The young woman who died, Alyssa Noceda, she was just 18 years old. And again, this guy knew that she was in the midst of an overdose. She was in her bedroom. He did nothing to help. He sent photos of her mostly nude body to his friends, mocking her as she lay there dying. Then he tried to cover up her death by disposing of her body, but police caught him first. I mean, I am incredulous that this is a 34-month sentence, and understandably, so is the mother of the woman.
It's a joke. 3 years for taking somebody's life. It's just a joke. Usually people who do stuff like this don't get away with a slap on the wrist.
It is a slap on the wrist. This is painful to even contemplate. And, I said the woman, 18 years old, it's just a kid that died here. And she maybe could have been saved if he had called authorities instead of raping her.
I just keep thinking I'll never see her again.
That's something I mean... I say our legislature has to fix it, but the fact that this guy is going to be walking around free in less than 3 years is horrifying. Yeah, but we've got good weed, right, Governor Inslee? Got the best weed in the country. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
A week from today, Black Friday, there has been an announcement of a boycott for Seattle businesses. Black Lives Matter Seattle has announced they will shop black only and boycott white businesses they claim hurt the black community. They went on to Facebook. They're calling it, they say it's the fifth year of Black Lives Matter Friday. My colleague Jason Rance over on KTTH, he has a story up on this on My Northwest. They don't offer any details on how these supposed white businesses that they're going to boycott hurt the black community in Seattle. It's so weird to still see groups saying that we are going to identify you by your skin color, by your race. We are going to make decisions on where to shop. If it's white business, we'll boycott you and we'll try to hurt you economically by circulating the name of your business. And you know what? If they want to support black-owned businesses, I understand that. There are a lot of ethnic communities over the years that have done a great job of saying, we're going to support our people. You know, the Jewish community, the Asian communities, they have for hundreds of years here in America, or over 100 years, when we first had large immigrant communities come into cities. And they said, hey, we're going to build up our community. And if Black Lives Matter says, hey, here's a list of black-owned businesses, let's support them, I get that. I think there are a lot of ethnic groups that have done that in our history. But this notion of let's target white-owned businesses and announce a boycott, it's so counterproductive these days. And it's another example of how for people who cry racism, sometimes they are guilty of that themselves. So that is the boycott that's planned. Now, the other question that's been raised is, in years past, there have been efforts to stop the downtown Seattle tree lighting right by the Macy's there. And there is a tweet circulated by this group, Black Lives Matter Seattle, that simply said, no tree lighting, no work, no school, just shop black. What? How does stopping the tree lighting achieve anything? But we have been a powder keg for that kind of thing in the past. So we'll see if things unfold in that direction a week from today, Black Friday. That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Gonna check the news for you. And then on a Friday afternoon, count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Awesome audio coming up next. Oh, man, I'm about to play our awesome audio of the week. One that would have made the cut, but it's all visual. Have you guys seen the Elton John commercial?
Yes.
Oh!
I just tweeted it out, too, because you have to see it.
How unbelievable a bit of production is that?
Seriously.
It's just, have you seen it,
Nicole?
You have
to explain why it's, because for people who haven't seen it.
I don't think
so. Oh, my goodness.
I really don't watch commercials anymore.
It just dropped yesterday, as people in the biz say. But it just shows Elton John at his age, now, today, sitting in an old parlor room in an old house, sitting tinkling on an upright piano. And he starts playing this song, then pans over, and it's Elton John in an arena.
It's a little bit funny.
Today, playing for, tens of thousands of people. And then it flashes to all these shots of him younger days in his career, and when he was standing and jumping off the piano when he was a younger guy playing the same song. It's one of the most beautifully produced commercials I've ever seen. And it looks like he's at Shea, maybe, standing on the piano with that red, white, and blue star-spangled jacket he would wear. Then pans over to him on an airplane. Looks like when he was about 30 years old, singing the same song. And I don't know how they created all the, because there's no way, because the panning of the video is very similar in all of these shots. It's just unbelievable.
It is beautiful editing. And then when you, I mean, you see Elton, obviously he's older now. I mean, didn't he say that this is his last tour?
Yeah.
Which he is going to be coming next year, and I am going to be watching.
Yeah. Well, because his kids are young, though, and so he might be back when they're older.
I know. So it just is a little bit heartbreaking. It's like you just see the passage of time and these beautiful songs.
Well, it's all visual, so playing it does nothing on the radio.
But I invite you to join me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Ursula Cairo FM. I just tweeted it.
Okay. All right. Go check that out, because that's my hot tip for today.
Speaking of tips.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to give away some Seahawks tickets.
Yes.
Thank you. I get a little
scattered. I don't know why we're so bad at giveaways. Sorry.
Well, I know. I said I was going to do this in the big league.
Remembering it.
Okay. And we have a pair of tickets just for our show, my listeners. And all you have to do is know the code word, which is tackle. Not the one that Ursula advertises. The actual football takedown. Tackle. So go to mynorthwest.com/win. Enter the code word tackle. And you will be entered to win a pair of tickets to see the Seahawks host the 49ers on December 2nd. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
At number three, Jimmy Kimmel did a bit a few nights ago. He goes out in the streets, tells people ridiculous things, and then gets their reaction. He told them that Trump is sending the Statue of Liberty back to France.
Number three.
We're out here asking people what they thought about Trump's announcement to the French this week that he wants to give back the Statue of Liberty because he doesn't like the message it sends about tired and poor immigrants.
I think that's, and I voted for Trump. I think that's a pretty low statement on his part.
Trump made the announcement to the French this week that he wants to have them take the Statue of Liberty back because he doesn't like the message it sends about giving your tired and poor immigrants. How do you feel about that?
Whatever he says, I think it's great.
Absolutely, I think it's a good idea.
It would take forever to take it back to France. I mean, seeing how big it is. So I don't see the point investing in a pointless transfer.
He said that green is hands down the most unflattering color on big women.
Green.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think green is a weird color, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Amen to that. At number two, the coach at Oklahoma State University, he was asked about all these players who transfer and hop from one school to another. He blamed liberalism for that.
Number two.
Is that the biggest difference in players these days? It seems like transferring is a lot easier for guys to do than maybe it was back in the day.
Well, I think we live in a world where people are noncommittal. We allow liberalism to say, hey, I can just do what I want and I don't have to really be tough and fight through it. And you see that with young people because it's an option they're given. We weren't given that option when we were growing up. We were told what to do. We did it the right way, or you go figure it out on your own. And in the world today, there's a lot of entitlement. I'm a firm believer in the snowflake. I think it's setting there. And I'm not talking about Tabo. Tabo and I have had multiple good talks.
There's the coach at Oklahoma State. At number one, with all these horrible wildfires in California, one woman was saved. She's 94 years old. It was her garbage truck driver who saved her. It was an incredible story.
Number one.
Margaret is her name. She didn't know about the fire until after breakfast.
I got up as usual, went and had some oatmeal as usual, and I turned the TV on, and then they said that there was a fire going into paradise.
So she went out on her porch afterwards, and nobody was coming through until she saw her waste management truck driven by Dane Cummings.
I've been up there 8 years, and I just picked the people that I knew were older, and I tried to stop and help them and let them know that they were coming and make sure they were getting out.
So this guy drove her 5 hours to safety.
They lifted her, and we lifted her, and we just scooted her on the seat and put the seatbelt on her and made sure she was up there far enough so she wouldn't fall out on either side. And that was it. We're on the road.
She told him about witnessing Pearl Harbor.
A Japanese plane came over. He was so low that I could see the pilot.
And he loved the conversation.
I wish I'd known her when she was younger. I'd have married her, you know what I mean? The best conversation I've had in the truck in ever.
Today's Side Next. Stretch we come. What a week. What a show. What a show. What a week. All right, before we get out of here, it's time for today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
I got to clear out the reserves here at the end of the week. Let me see how many of these I can fly through. Let's start in Pittsburgh. It's the Steel City, don't you know? A Pittsburgh woman is facing several charges after allegedly throwing several cans of SpaghettiOs at a woman's vehicle. This happened as the victim was expecting to meet with a man who was expected to provide money for their children. The victim said when she approached the meetup point, a woman approached her and began throwing cans of SpaghettiOs at her vehicle. The victim said as she tried to get out of her car, the suspect then tried stabbing her with a kitchen knife. She was cut on the finger but managed to get away, somehow taking her attacker's purse with her. Police said the victim's vehicle had a broken back window, multiple dents, and was smeared with red sauce and pieces of pasta. They found the suspect, 59-year-old Eileen Gettleman, but surveillance video showed several other people were involved in the incident, including a man who also was throwing cans of SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs. Today's side story number two. Let's go down to Florida, Polk County. An elderly woman is accused of taking her meth to the doctor for testing after she became concerned about the drug's effects on her. 73-year-old Barbara Lee Ray. Really? Should we be calling 73-year-olds elderly women? 73 is like the new 72. Barbara Lee Ray, she asked her doctor to test her meth because she was worried it was doing her harm. She started using the drug about a month ago, but she says that after smoking it this most recent time, it seemed to have more adverse effects on her. So she went to the Complete Care Family Medicine Associates to test her meth. It came back positive for meth. She was booked into the Polk County Jail on 2 counts of possession of meth. She was released 2 days after visiting her doctor. Let's see. Let's go to New Jersey. Big New York Jets fan there, 57-year-old Christopher Grayshock. But Christopher sometimes does wrong. He was charged with drunken driving after a crash. And when the police asked him why he was drinking and driving, he said it was because the New York Jets suck. The Jets had lost 41-10 last weekend to the Buffalo Bills. He told responding officers, quote, "I drank too much because the Jets suck." He had an open bottle of whiskey and marijuana in his car. Besides the DUI, he was charged with assault by auto. That's what fans, that's, you know, fanatic. That's why it's called fanatic. Okay, and then finally in today's, I'm getting four. We've had such a great week, I decided to make this a four-bagger for you here. Do You know that I never say stuff just because it's the hipster, trendy stuff to say. Because I think that most hipsters proudly declare that John Lennon was their favorite Beatle. That's the popular thing to say. I love John Lennon's music, and I love the Beatles' music. I would say, as a solo artist, John Lennon was probably my third favorite Beatle. Paul McCartney, George Harrison, then Lennon, and then a chasm to Ringo Starr. But can you imagine, you know, Ringo was here on Sunday for the Vets Aid concert at the Tacoma Dome. Paul McCartney is still one of the biggest touring acts in the world, well into his 70s. I mean, think about the music that John Lennon would have created. And I like a lot of his music. I love this song. I think that I'm a little tainted because his song Imagine is right at, probably even surpasses American Pie as my least favorite pop song of all time. I hate that song, Imagine. Hate everything about it. I hate the fact that it's pretty much the Communist Manifesto set to music. But I also love a lot of his music as well. And you do wonder what he would have done the last 40 years had he not been gunned down on the streets of New York City. His killer is talking this week. Mark David Chapman. He's 63 years old. He's always pushing for parole. Now let me play one more. I want to play two Lennon songs because I do like a lot of his music here. This is one of my favorites too. Anyway, Mark David Chapman has this week expressed his enduring remorse for killing John Lennon. This was at his 10th parole board hearing. They're just releasing the transcript of it. He told the parole board that he feels more and more shame every year for gunning down the former Beatle in 1980. He told them, 30 years ago, I couldn't say I felt shame, and I know what shame is now. It's where you cover your face. You don't want to ask for anything. He told parole board members he still thinks about how Lennon was incredible to him earlier that day. He said he'd been going through an internal tug of war of whether to go ahead with the shooting. And he said, I was just too far in. I do remember having the thought of, hey, you've got the album now. Look at this. He signed it. Just go home. Yeah, John Lennon autographed his album cover earlier that day. Then he said he felt no animosity for Lennon at the time. He loaded his gun with lethal hollow point bullets. I secured those bullets to make sure he would be dead. It was immediately after the crime that I was concerned that he did not suffer. And he says the pain he caused will linger even after he dies. I didn't mean to hurt you. Oh, I love this song. My goodness. I'm sorry that I made you cry. Oh, no, I didn't want to hurt you. That parole is never granted to Mark David Chapman. I gotta get out of here. What a week. Too many great guests to even mention. I'm really proud of the interview we had on the Seahawks pregame that we replayed at 12:30 this afternoon with World War II vet Art Unruh. If you missed it, check it out on our podcast. It's one of my favorite interviews ever. And as always, I want to thank you. Another great week of contributions from you. And it is sincerely and deeply appreciated that you spend part of your afternoons with us. Because nothing's more important than your time. And I love you. I appreciate you so much. I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for this week. But I'll go home and think up a bunch of new stuff this weekend for Monday's big show. Rod and Don coming up next. And I will see you back here Monday. High noon. Hello.
Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.